Thank you so much for joining me today on Just Praise Him Radio. I'm your host, Glenda Lomax, and my job is to inspire you to a closer walk with Christ. Now here's the show. Hello, believers. Welcome to the Just Praise Him Radio program. I'm your host, Glenda Lomax, and the title of my message today is Satan is Trying to Kill the Intercessors, Episode 2, Ray and Roy's Stories. So this week we're studying intercessory prayer, specifically praying for lost souls to be saved, and how I am seeing attack after attack on intercessors that seem to be Satan trying to take them out. Before we move on, I want to tell you about a friend of mine. I don't think I ever shared with y'all about this one precious friend in Denver I've known for years. I cannot remember when we first began communicating, but just one of the sweetest, most gentle people you could ever hope to know. Her name is Jerry. We have been communicating since 2014 or before. She became not only an intercessor, but the leader of a battalion of intercessors for Prophet Augusto Perez of Appearance Ministries in Florida, and has done it for 10 years or more, if I remember correctly. Very strong intercessor. Former physician's assistant who managed 900 contractors and 300 government employees for OSHA, married to a retired lieutenant. I found out earlier this week that Jerry had passed into the arms of Jesus on February 27th, around the time I began making notes for this series on how Satan is trying to kill the intercessors. May she have great peace and her much-deserved rest, and we will all see her when we get to glory. Praise Jesus, her work and her suffering is over. She had developed many health problems the past several years, which I am pretty sure many of them had to be attacks. But now she gets to walk the streets of gold and enjoy her Savior. May the Lord our God comfort her surviving husband, her children, and the many friends who love her. I cannot say with certainty whether Satan killed Jerry or not. The Lord did not say. But I can say it sure makes this message hit home with me as I've been fighting off one illness after another while also traveling and taking attack after attack after attack, which my friend Joanne has been doing warfare against. God bless her heart. Boy, y'all talk about a warrior. Joanne really knows how to do warfare. She belongs to, I think it's two different intercessor groups who meet on the phone every day and pray for people. She has lots of experience. Wherever I go, we are always in touch by phone and we pray for each other. You will hear her talk about intercession and warfare regarding intercession in next week's podcast. She and her husband, Steve, were kind enough to record their experiences and email them to me for next week's podcast so I could share them with you. Today, I want to share with you stories from two of my closest friends who Satan tried to kill very recently, I believe because they had been interceding regularly for lost souls. First, you will hear my very good friend Ray Sauls, who has been on this program before, who also has a YouTube channel under Lewis Ray Sauls, and he has a video on there called I Almost Died, where he also tells this story in detail and shows you the environment where it happened. Here is Ray.
Hi, Glenda. Thank you for having me on your show. As you know, I like to tell stories. And this story is about something that happened to me in August of 23. Satan tried to kill me. And I thought he wanted to kill me because of the podcast that I've been producing. But you were sharing with me about your friends, two friends who have been praying for the unsaved and how they were almost taken out. The same thing happened to me. I'll tell you about it. I sleep in my loft in a reclining chair because if I sleep in bed, I roll around. So I was up here. The lights were out. It was 1:30 in the morning. And I woke up. I wanted a snack. So I decided to get up and go down for some almonds. I got up and I stepped toward what I knew was the open staircase. And I tried to feel for the handrails. Could not find them. Now, I have lived in this house for 42 years. I know every single feature in this house. I walk around in it in the dark all the time, and I can walk around without bumping into furniture. But this night, I couldn't feel a thing. I didn't know what to do. I squatted down on my haunches because I was afraid of falling down the steps. So I squatted down on my haunches and I was reaching out with both hands to feel the hand railings. They weren't there. Where could they be? We're only talking about 4 feet from my chair. So I bent my head forward, apparently, and that threw my balance off, and I rolled down the stairs, a flight of stairs, fat and bone on its way down. And I hit the wall at the bottom, which is a solid wall, and I hit it with the crown of my head. That fall, or tumble, as I call it, almost killed me. I ended up with 3 brain bleeds. I almost cut my tongue in half, halfway the length of my tongue in half. I don't know how my tongue stuck out like that. It's hard for me to stick my tongue out as far as it was. Anyway, almost lost my tongue, and I broke my neck. I spent 3 weeks in the hospital, and I called you, and the Lord gave you a word about what had happened, and he told you that Satan tried to take my life. Well, I knew that. But anyway, it took me 3 weeks to recover, and I did have some brain damage. I've lost some of my memory, short-term memory, fortunately not long-term, because I like to tell stories and I draw them from my past. You mentioned the other day that You asked me if I had been praying for the unsaved, and the answer is yes. There are a number of people that I worked with, some for as many as 20 years. I retired last June, and I thought I would start praying for them. And I have some neighbors that I pray for. But praying for the unsaved is something that, well, that sometimes it takes years for it to happen. I had no idea until you put this thought in my head that possibly I might be causing Satan a lot of heartache. And I chuckle at that. So I have decided that I'm going to increase my prayers for the unsaved, and give Satan something really to be upset about. I will not quit. I will not give up. Satan is defeated, and I am going to win. Jesus is going to win. There will be souls saved. And my podcast will continue. And that's my story.
I still remember getting the news that Ray had fallen down the stairs and was in ICU, that he had a broken neck, bleeding in his brain, and had almost bitten his tongue in two. Immediately, the Lord showed me in my spirit that Satan did that. He tried to kill him by causing him to fall down the stairs. And I was really concerned he would not make it because he is in, I believe, his 70s. I began warring in the spirit immediately and asking others to pray as well. He was in the hospital 3 weeks before he was discharged to home to finish recovering. Okay, in this next story, my very good friend Roy tells the story of how he was minding his own business, inside a business he goes to about once a week where he prays for lost souls as he eats. I found his story very intriguing because it shows so clearly that Satan tried to take him out before he could even reach his table, which is where he would sit and intercede for lost souls. Here's Roy.
Hello, my name is Roy, and I'm from Pennsylvania. Glenda has asked me to share with you a series of 3 ongoing demonic encounters that I experienced. Before doing so, I feel it is kind of prudent to share some thoughts on this subject of demons. Dealing with demon identities is difficult for some of the people to believe, and it's downright frightening to others. To tell someone that we are surrounded by demons and angels on all sides all the time, even though we can't see them, is hard for some to accept or to believe. And by the way, I have found that doubt to be true even within my own family. Sorry if that makes you uncomfortable, but that is a spiritual fact, and Scripture supports it 100%. When we look at the Gospels and read about our Lord Jesus casting out demons left and right, and then sending the disciples out to do the same, having read those things in the Gospel concerning demons, a Christian should be hard-pressed to deny the existence of demons. Note, those demons did not go away with the passage of time. And I repeat, take note, those demons did not go away with the passage of time. They are still with us, period. Another consideration. It is important to understand that there is a hierarchy in heaven. A brief look into the scriptures indicates that Michael, the archangel, is the commander of the army of the angels. Gabriel is the messenger. And many other examples tell us that there is a hierarchy of responsibility in heaven. This condition of hierarchy, by the way, is also true in the demonic realm as well. You should know that the demonic entities do make assignments against us humans. We are watched carefully. Notes are taken, so to speak, and decisions are made as to the best way to attack or tempt we humans. Again, sorry if that disturbs you, but it is a fact of spiritual life. Yes, indeed, we are hated by those demons. Think about this. You and I have a chance to become a child of the Father, inherit heaven, get a glorified body like our Lord Jesus had at his resurrection, and we get to spend eternity in bliss and happiness. Or the possibility of that, if we do the right thing, in accepting Jesus as our Lord and Savior, and he died for us on the cross. While the demons' fate is hell, Satan and his minions are really out to destroy God's children. Think about that. Believe me, they really hate you and I for that reason. The next thing to recognize, and this is very, very important. Let me repeat that, and this is very, very important. There are definite laws that the Lord Jesus has established to keep demons from destroying us, or to be blunt about it, kill us, because they can or could. Another thing to know, if you have a demonic article or object in your house, like a statue of a gargoyle, or even a Buddha statue, for example, then demons have a legal right to come into your place in a way they couldn't otherwise. Also, repetitive sinning, the same sin over and over again, also opens up their legal claim to plant seeds in that person's mind. One may call that strong temptations. Folks, understanding these laws is very important. We learn about them, and these laws, I should say, as we get into the spiritual warfare training. You might ask yourself, why is all this? My take on it is that we're still fighting the fruit of good and evil in our own lives that started in the garden. In a biblical sense, we have received the Adamic mind of Adam and Eve. That is, a sinful nature. Some call it original sin. Without proper knowledge, we more easily fall into the traps of the enemy. In the Bible, book of Jeremiah, if I recall correctly, it says that my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. That's something to think about. One last thing before I get into it. A Christian who is doing little or nothing to exercise his or her Christianity may receive less demonic attention than the one who is busy about the Lord's work. But be aware, and I repeat, be aware. Lackadaisical Christianity can come under the refinement from our Lord Jesus, which is no fun, believe me. Non-believers as a whole may be less bothered by demons other than temptation as a general rule. The demonic entities figure they have them in the bag, and the enemy is going to claim them for hell. From the demon's perspective, why not let them run their course? This understanding is not ironclad, by the way. It's just a guideline that I gave you. These and other subjects are for future study in spiritual warfare. Fear not. The Lord has given us the tools to deal with demonic interference in our lives. For example, how to cancel assignments against us. Now, I've laid some groundwork here. I would like to share with you one of my most recent demonic experiences with you. My experience started off simple enough. I had some cereal. It was honey wheat and milk. At some point, my throat or my breathing was blocked, and I began to experience the inability to breathe either through my nose or my mouth. That was a frightening situation, I'll tell you. I called out in my mind, "Lord, I need help." I coughed and gagged, tried drinking some water, and eventually it cleared up, but it was a scary experience you do not want to have. I dismissed this as wheat cereal being caught in my breathing tube and resolved that I'd chew it a lot better next time and thoroughly. So I thought nothing more of it than that. However, within a few weeks later, I was in a particular fast food restaurant, which I frequent, and I experienced the same thing during my meal. Again, I really struggled. And I just couldn't breathe and catch any air. Oh, that is freaky. Scary. I called out to the Lord in my mind for help, both this time and each time that this happened to me. Afterwards, when it cleared up, I wondered if I had a throat problem and that maybe I should go see the doctor about it. But there was nothing in the food or how I swallowed it indicated to me that the food had caused the problem. So once again, I dismissed it. Now at the time, and I need to point this out to you, I have been going to this fast food place for quite a while. I made a practice to claim a specific prayer requested that the Lord Jesus has given for salvation of an unsaved person. A single salvation prayer for a stranger, the Lord Jesus said, and he will see to it that they have salvation. Wow, I wasn't going to pass that up. It was such a wonderful gift that I decided to claim it and prayed for every stranger and everybody, everyone that waited on me every time. And I wanted, every time I went to that fast food place, it included truck drivers, people picking up their food, the employees, and so on. That became a lot of people that I was praying for, that prayer. In that prayer, I started out by saying that if they're not saved, then I claim this prayer and said it. So if the person was already saved, and I wouldn't know one way or the other, no harm done. Okay, let's go back to what is happening. A possibility of a few weeks had transpired from my second experience. I still thought the problem had something to do with a defect in my throat, or it was food related. However, what happened next changed my mind about that. I received my coffee and my food, and I started to walk back to my favorite place to sit. In mid-stride, it struck me, and I was in real trouble. I coughed, hacked, and did everything I possibly could as I was standing there. No people around me. So then by that time I was standing next to the table, trying the best to draw some breath, and at some point it was getting so serious that I headed for the counter to ask for a drink of water, or actually to gesture for a drink of water, because I couldn't breathe. To be honest, I was wondering if this was it. They hastened to get me water, and while they were doing that, my problem cleared up. It was later then that I realized it was not the food sticking in my throat after all, and I had a clear realization that what was going on, and I knew that this was a demonic attack. I concluded that the enemy was furious. Can you imagine that? That people were being saved left and right from that location. They, the demons, knew that the Lord Jesus would steal away those lost souls. This place may have been a stronghold of the enemy. I don't know. I suppose if I had never experienced demonic attacks in my life prior to those events, I may not have come to that conclusion that the attacks were demonic. But I have received other demonic attacks, and I know at the time were definitely demonic. This was when I was in spiritual training. And that was part of my training. Those events were to teach me about spiritual attacks and the training that's involved. But all that's for another time. Upon reflection, I realized that I had been neglecting in saying my protection prayers before leaving my place to go out and eat. That was a mistake. When you are doing the Lord Jesus' work in bringing about salvation, you will become a target. You can be sure of that. Then, as I said earlier, the Lord Jesus has given us methods to deal with those attacks, such as those protection prayers that I failed to pray. When you read in Ephesians 6 to put on the armor of God, folks, those are not just words, and that armor is not symbolic. It is spiritual armor in the spiritual realm. And while not an all-inclusive protection, it is very important part of it. Now, in wrapping this up, folks, for those of you that might find this difficult to accept or just downright scary, I understand. I really do. The Lord Jesus, in his earthly ministry, made it abundantly clear of the existence of the demonic world through the casting out of demons. The Holy Spirit has been the restrainer of this demonic world through God's grace. Thank goodness. I do believe that there is a spiritual conflict going on around us almost all the time, or all the time, I should say. I also believe that we are the cause of much of it by what we do and what we do not do. Our Lord Jesus said in the Gospels, "You are either with me or you are against me." That seems to imply no middle ground. Jesus also said, "Let your yes be yes and your no be no, and anything else is evil." Now, those are things to contemplate in your relationship with your Lord. That's it. Thank you very much for allowing me to share my experience with you. Most of what I learned on spiritual warfare came from Glenda, by the way. And now we should go back to her.
Roy, as he said, pretty much had chalked up what happened to him as just food until that last episode. I remember when I lived in the big house in Arkansas, the one where I fought and won the Spider Wars. I remember almost choking to death there several times, always while I was eating, though. Those of you who know me know I used to spend a lot of time praying for the lost when I lived there. Now it does not look so much like it was due to what I was eating. Maybe it was something else. It happened at least one time when I was in Louisiana, too. And it was really scary. I just nearly checked out when I was in Louisiana from that. I think we tend to blame the natural for things like this, especially as we age. Maybe we should look a little closer, or a lot closer. Because Satan will come at you through any person, place, or thing he can. He hates you, he hates me, and he wants to see us all dead. Don't assume you know why something happened. Pray to be shown the truth of why it happened. That's all I have for y'all this week. There will be one more episode about intercession next week where you'll hear Steve and Joanne's stories. I hope you are finding these podcasts helpful. I'm sorry they're so late getting out. I have been fighting trying to connect to Wi-Fi all week. I don't have a working Wi-Fi card. So I'm kind of just, you know, I'm answering emails on my phone. It's a mess, but I'm doing my best. Jesus bless you. Thanks for listening. Y'all have a great and safe week. Bye for now. Thank you so much for tuning in today to Just Praise Him Radio. I hope this has inspired you to a closer walk with Christ. You can contact me by mail at my new address, JPH Inc., P.O. Box 854, Altus, Oklahoma, that's A-L-T-U-S, Oklahoma 73522, or by email at wingsofprophecy@gmail.com. JPH is not affiliated with any nonprofit organization, church, or denomination.